Hey guys, welcome to True Thirds Radio. Your host Charles Giuliani. Got an interesting show today. We got a guest, Joy Jeffries Pugh, P-U-G-H. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She's written a couple interesting books. One is called Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. And another one is The Antichrist, The Cloned Image of Jesus Christ. They look interesting. The Eden one particularly, there's a lot of subject matter in there that's just very intriguing. So she's going to be on here after the break talking about her books. Before that, let me just go over a couple quick announcements here. I got a new book up on Lulu. Once again, guys, if you just go to lulu.com, that's L-U-L-U.com, just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and you'll see all of the books I've got available. The new one is An Alternative View of the Distant Past. There we go. I kind of hastily posted it. It's good, but there's a couple little glitches in there. Probably not anything you guys would notice. It's stuff that I noticed. So in the future, I am going to post a second edition. But anyway, go and check it out. It's really good stuff. I'm going to be doing some shows coming up soon on it, talking about catastrophism in the past, advanced technology in the distant past. It's really neat stuff. But again, that's at lulu.com. Also, guys, one of our sponsors, in fact, I had John Onesti on last week, I think it was. You got to get in on the action here. Great way to invest your money to protect your assets. They can help you look after your investments. I'm hearing some funky country music in the background here. I don't know. Are we going to a break or is someone just messing around there in the studio? They can help you invest for retirement, help you fund education, lower your taxes, reduce investment risk, enhance return potential, increase retirement income, and just overall protect against the failing dollar. So visit onestiadvisors.com. That's onestiadvisors.com. Or you can call them at 505-296-2453. Again, that's 505-296-2453. Onestiadvisors.com, guys. Check them out. Anyway, yesterday I started a rant, and Thursday I'll be picking that up. You don't want to miss it, guys. It's very interesting stuff showing how Freemasonry has completely hijacked this country. Of course, that's been going on right from the start. They've been behind the scenes from the beginning. But I'm going over, you know, symbolism, going over numerology. Major events in our history have all happened on key Masonic dates. You know, our dollar bill, everything. And I'm going to go into that in more detail on Thursday. Everything is based around Freemasonry. You know, a lot of the logos for major corporations are inundated with Masonic symbology. In fact, my guest coming on today has written quite a bit on this, so I'm sure she'll have more to say about it. But it's astonishing. Once you're attuned to this, once you're aware of it, you see it all over the place, and you realize, yeah, it's obvious who's running the show here. And once you become familiar with some of their own documents, you realize that, you know, they're the ones. One of the main ones, that is. There's a lot of groups working together toward this end, but they're at the helm of this, pushing for a new world order. Oh, anyway, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back with our guest here, Joy Jeffries Pugh. Stick with us.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is a allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Okay, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. This is your host, Charles Giuliani. Today we're joined by Joy Jeffries Pugh, and she's the author of two very interesting books. We're probably going to have to, if time allows, jump back and forth between them because they both sound very intriguing. But I think primarily she's here to talk about her latest one, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. Once again, she also has written Antichrist, the clone image of Jesus Christ. So let's welcome Joy Jeffries Pugh. Welcome, Joy. Are you there, Joy?
Yes, uh-oh. Hello.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on this morning.
Yeah, great to have you. I was looking over your bio there. Pretty impressive. You've had quite a resume, quite a few degrees that you've gotten over the years. I guess mostly in education, but you've got some in psychology and...
Yes, I have a very
guidance counseling.
A very varied background, I think, because I was so interested in trying to find some answers to some questions that I had growing up as a child. I just tried to find out those answers while I was in school as much as I could. So there's a little bit of a variation between starting out what I thought to be an attorney in my life and then deciding that I liked education and I wanted to be able to pursue education at its highest level, and so my doctorate is in education.
Great. So, yeah, it looks like you've gone down some interesting paths in that pursuit of answers to key questions. And that's certainly what we want to get into today. Now, your latest book is the Eden one?
Yes, it is. Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. And it came out just the first part of this year, and it will be coming out on audio CD in the next coming year. So I'm really excited about this work. It took me 7 years to do this particular research for this book, and so it's pretty in-depth, and I encourage those people who decide to read it, they can go to my website, which is www.drjoye, and that's D-R-J-O-Y-E, joye.com, to be able to look at the books if they're interested while we're talking on the air today.
Okay, and once again, that's drjoye.com, Dr. Joy.
That's right.
And once again, I forgot to take my phone out of my room. Hold on a minute. Oh, boy. I got to take that out during the break. I always do that. It never rings when I remember to take it out. Never. It only rings when I forget to take
it. That's the way it always happens.
Oh, I tell you. But, I was looking over the outline. You've got, you had sent me a list of all the chapter titles, and I got to say, wow. We could probably spend a whole show on each one of these chapter titles. I mean, this is in-depth stuff.
It really is, and I guess that's why I try to make people understand that when they read my work, they need to start in the very beginning of the book and go all the way through it. A lot of people like to start at the end and read in the middle, but with my research, you have to start in the beginning and go to the end, because I'm going to prove that in the beginning, the end was in the apple. In other words, it was in knowledge that we acquired in the Garden of Eden.
Right. Yeah, this looks and it looks like there's probably a crossover between the two books, right? The Antichrist one.
Right, Antichrist one I did right at the year of 2000, and I finished up with it right in 1999, and it is called Antichrist: The Cloned Image of Jesus Christ. And I have done extensive research on that particular idea of trying to determine just who the Antichrist would be, and that's something that all my life that I had. And I actually looking for the man that I believe that I would live to see. So I had spent a lot of time on that particular book and was able to uncover a lot of strange things that I thought was, that something that would be able to be brought about in this generation. And so once I finished that particular book, I jumped into Eden and began doing the research on it. And like I say, it took me 7 years to do the research on Eden. And so it's extensive. And it does touch on a lot of unusual things. It's in the genre of religion and science, and most people feel like that's a little bit strange that you can have a religious book and also touch on a little bit of science. But the two together, I'm going to show you how that has happened through history, and that actually science and religion are very, very related.
So if we focus on your latest book, that kind of will cover... what's in the first one, or are they two?
Well,
is the second one a continuation?
It will give you highlights of what is in the first one. A lot of people, they like to read the first one and then read the second one because it kind of builds on itself. But you don't have to do that. You can read the second one and then read the first one and understand the first one greater, because the information there, like I say, it's pretty extensive. Although I've written both of these nonfiction books to be easy read, because I wanted it to be like you and I were sitting either around a campfire or, let's say, at a table having coffee, and we just started discussing some things that were kind of unusual. And I write it as if you're my best friend, and I'm trying to tell you all this information that I have acquired for about 30 years of research in my entire lifetime. And and so it's a very personal book. Both of the books are very personal books to you, for the purpose of learning about things that maybe you thought you had your eyes open, but you really did not have an open. But I think after both of these books, your eyes will be definitely open to the fingerprints of Satan that are all around us.
Now, I don't know if you want to blow the secret or leave it open for people to read your book, but I do have a question for you. I've often thought that I figured out who the Antichrist was, and I was wondering if your book concurs. I've had the opinion that it might be my ex-wife. Is that what you came to the conclusion of in your book?
Well, I have a lot of people who approach me, and they're always telling me who they think it might be, and it's always the bad people in their lives that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
But of course, we all know that even back in the times of when Peter and Paul and different apostles were writing for the Bible, that they said that, there were already antichrists in the world, and anybody that I guess would be kind of a bad person, we know that there's always been the spirit of Satan here. And of course, I try to prove that really, in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, that Satan's fingerprints are there, and so, you know, he was against God, and anything that is against God is definitely an antichrist. But the big guy that's going to come, I believe, in our lifetime, and that in which my book kind of leads you to show how that's going to happen, of course, he's the one that's going to walk in the flesh and be a little bit meaner than, maybe than your ex-wife would be. Which is scary for you,
even,
right?
Even worse than that. This is scary. But, yeah, so you would say that this individual is probably walking the earth today.
Yes, it is. And you know, there's a timeline. And in my work, I actually carry you, like I say, from the beginning of time right to the end of time and show you how all this has been paralleled and planned and that it's not some chaotic thing that is just going to happen. Our life in which we live is definitely a planned, I guess people call it matrix, but it's a planned matrix. It's not chaotic in that there is going to be certain things that are going to happen as specified, and we're seeing some of those things really start to manifest themselves, I think.
How about this? It's planned, but it's still chaotic.
Well, yeah. We see
planned
it as
chaos.
We see it as chaotic, I think, but it's a very planned thing. And
sure.
I explained that, you know, when Jesus was actually here on earth, that when he went to cast out some of the demons, that they actually particularly said, you know, why have you come before the time? So there is a timeline that they, demonic forces and Satan and his group of fallen angels, know the game plan. They do not know the very date that probably a rapture would actually occur, or a second coming would actually occur as far as the day and time, but they know the times. And so I actually show in my book how that knowledge that really Satan has had since the day that he was thrown from heaven, that he has been able to manifest his group or his followers and his blood lineage to march through history to bring the Antichrist to power in what I believe will be our lifetime.
And, you know, someone doesn't have to be religious per se to appreciate this, because the ones who are running the world behind the scenes, they are religious.
Oh,
and
very
they do
religious. I think that's the fallacy, is that, you know, in Christianity we have taught that anybody that does not believe in the Christian way does not practice religion. But Satanism is a religion. It is a spiritual manifestation of actually worshiping a spiritual being. And just as we worship our God as a spiritual being, they worship their God as a spiritual being. So when I carry you through my book about paganism, I'm actually telling you that, you know, the Ten Commandments, the Lord said, you know, you will have no other gods before me. He was actually saying that those spiritual beings were a type of God to those pagan worshipers. They weren't, like, not worshiping something. They were definitely worshiping something that he did not, you know, really want his Hebraic lineages coming out of Egypt to have anything to do with. So I show how that is one of the major fallacies of our world today, is that people don't believe that everybody's worshiping or religiously doing some kind of spiritualism when they really are.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And it permeates everything, really, doesn't it? This pagan system of religion that the elites embrace. It pops up all over the place, sometimes in very subtle forms, sometimes not so subtle, but it does in fact permeate all of society.
It does. It very much does. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, that their secret societies are just little membership groups, and they get together and they have these little fun plays that they put on inside of these little closed up rooms. But what they don't really realize is the where these little things have come from. And of course, in my work, I trace back from your secret societies of today all the way back to a group that actually was some of the first Egyptians that came out of the Babylon culture. And they were the temperate White Hood Brotherhood that existed back then. And most of all those secret societies can tie themselves directly back to that group.
Yeah, they've been passing on the torch from generation to generation.
Exactly.
Okay, we've got to go to a short break. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Joy Jeffries-Pugh.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. This is your host, Charles Giuliani, and we're joined today by Joy Jeffries Pugh, author of, two interesting books, but the one we're going to be focusing on today is Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, talking about modern occultism, which really isn't modern at all. It goes back to ancient times. And how it permeates our modern society in ways that a lot of people aren't even aware of. So, yeah, I mean, do you want to first talk about the Antichrist itself and how, you know, what you feel it is? And or did you want to go over, because I got a lot of questions about your book here. I was looking through the chapter titles. Interesting stuff.
Well, if you just want to ask questions, I'll be glad to answer whatever, you know, that you're kind of interested in. I think that you probably know what your listeners are most interested in finding out about.
Well, I guess we'll just start with that then. The Antichrist itself, you know, where do you feel it's going to be coming out of? I guess we should call it, right?
A thing. A being.
This thing, yeah.
A very bad thing. My research is very unusual in that, you know, from my first book, the title in itself says The Antichrist, the Clone Image of Jesus Christ. And what I was really, as a young girl sitting around trying to figure out reading the Bible, Revelation, and especially the verse that says that it will be a number of a man, and it will be 666. And throughout my life, I was always trying to, you know, find out, you know, what person would meet and match that particular number, that kind of thing. And one day I was doing some research, and I came across the idea of cloning. And that was long before you ever, you know, anyone heard about Dolly and the cloning issues and things like that. And the first thing that kind of came to my mind, I was actually riding down the road with my grandmother in a vehicle, and I just, all of a sudden, it was like, wow, who in the world, if I could clone, would I want to bring back? You know, if you could bring anybody back from the dead, who would it be? And immediately, I thought, oh, I would just love to have, you know, Jesus. Would that be possible? And about, I guess, a couple of weeks before that, I had actually done some research on the Shroud of Turin. It was interesting to me. And all of a sudden, I thought, oh, well, if we cloned him, what if we cloned, you know, and it was just kind of going off my head. I kind of stopped the car, and my grandmother was, like, looking at me this weird look, and I'm like, I know how this could possibly happen. So having done a little bit of research, I would have been very much to have wanted to, you know, let's clone him, bring him back. He can tell us, you know, all about all these things and this, that, and the other, and I was just kind of getting really excited about the possibility of that might be, you know, a credible way to do this. And then all of a sudden, after I started doing the research into it, I started seeing some parallel things that I had not thought about. And I began doing a little bit more research into what cloning was and, you know, about the soul and could the soul be cloned? And if the soul could not be cloned, what was the soul and that kind of thing? So looking at the word image that John wrote in the book of Revelation, I found out that particular word is quite unusual that he uses, because he took it from the Greek language, and he could have actually chosen three different words for that. He could have chosen image, which he did, or character, or he could have used something like an engraved art word. But instead, he used the word image, which actually means icon, and that it was a like in a likeness of something or someone. So from that particular point, I thought, well, you know, this is really kind of strange. Let's look back in Genesis and realize that, you know, it says the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so I did a little bit of research and found out that breath was actually called anesma. And that without this nesma, or living soul, a man was not really quite human. And so I did a little more research into the Talmud, which is some Jewish religious writings, and found that they actually called beings or creatures without the nesma a beast, because it lacked this living soul. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, so how could that happen? And continued to do a little more research and found out that there was a word called golem, G-O-L-E-M, in the Hebrew, that meant a shapeless mass, and that it was a word for kind of imperfect or unformed, and that actually in the Talmud legend, Adam is called a golem, meaning a body without a soul, until he receives that nesma, that living soul that makes him a living being with a soul. So it began to make sense to me that if you could form a shapeless mass of tissue, that you would be able to form an image. And doing a little bit more research, I found out that actually was a Jewish legend of a teacher in the 16th century that brought to life supposedly a giant man just formed from clay that they called a golem. And so I thought, well, you know, where could the seat of the soul be? Could the soul be cloned? And I really started thinking about shells. So when I began to do a little bit more research into how Satan could live in a body, because if you have a body with a soul, he's always going to have to contend with that soul,
knocking
him out of place or whatever.
I tell you what, we got to go to another break. Hold that thought, okay. Going. We'll pick up from there when we get back. Stick with us, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Be- because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4552. For details.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Okay, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Joined today by author Joy Jeffries Pugh, talking about her book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. And if you want to get her book, you can go to drjoy.com. That's drjoye.com. And you can find out how you can get her books there. So, before the break, let's pick up where you left off. You were getting into something really interesting. You know, I think the stuff you're addressing is questions I think all of us at one time or other have puzzled over and, you know, never really pursued it, though. So I think this book is real timely, really. I think it's stuff that's even maybe I think you're even addressing questions we didn't think to ask.
Well, I think that, you know, because I have been so interested in this most of my life that I have been looking for those pieces for a long period of time, and so it's real easy for me as I turn on news or read books or whatever that I can pick up on the information that I need to fill the puzzle together. And I'm hoping that all the work that I have done has kind of been your homework, and all you have to read is my thesis to be able to get the whole picture. And so, like I was talking earlier, the man's number being 66 and believing that he would live during our lifetime and how it would come, you know, come to pass, I really just started delving into trying to find out what, how can this happen? Is it possible it could happen a certain way? And how can Satan actually come and live in this world without having to deal with a soul against him? because any time that a human being is born, we are born with this soul. And if a demonic being or if you become demonically possessed or whatever, your soul, even though it may have allowed Satan in, at any time, if you have the power to control yourself, or let's say a priest can exorcise the demon or whatever, then Satan could not stay there. He would have to leave. So he has got to have a vehicle or a body to ride in that does not have that consciousness of a soul or a soul that would push him out of the body. He's got to have a vehicle that he's not going to have to be fighting a soul with. And so what we were talking about before the break was that in Revelation, John, that was on the Isle of Patmos when he wrote that, he actually said that the Antichrist was going to be in an image, and that was a Greek translation actually from the word icon or idol, and it also in the Greek is pneuma, which means a kind of a quasi form of life, and it's actually translated, like I say, in the word icon, which would mean statue or a famous person. This image would have to be some kind of strange, artificial, or different, but yet human-like being. And
yeah, the word spirit, pneuma is often translated as spirit, but it actually can refer to a lot of different things that have no material to them.
Right. And so that's why I was really trying to make people understand that it actually, those particular words are very important, because it's the only time, it's only four times in the New Testament it's ever used to explain the type of life. And so once you understand a little bit about clones and that the possibility that there would not be a soul actually in there to be opposition to Satan, that he could actually be made in a man-made image or an idol. And we know that, you know, the Catholic Church and their belief in things like if there is a statue that starts crying or bleeding, that people rush to it. You know, a lot of people receive healings,
yeah,
and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's really big.
So I think that's why in the Bible it told us, or it told his people, especially Hebraic people, not to have any idols, because I think that he was actually telling us there is going to be something that's going to come about that's going to be an idol that we, you know, can be very much swayed by. And I kind of believe he was actually hinting or leading his people to understand the desire not to worship an idol. The interesting thing is that in 1968, when the Stirp Committee went into the Shroud of Turin and did some blood samples and things like that, they were actually able to pull some DNA that showed that it was a male that was on the Shroud of Turin. And being able to clone that particular blood, if you could clone it and you could make it come to life as the golem that was actually brought about in the 16th century, supposedly, in Jewish legend, then that would actually be in the image of Jesus. And we all know that really Satan's fall in the very beginning as Lucifer was that he wanted to be worshipped as God. He wanted to be God, and that has kind of been his play all through history, is to be the Messiah of the created. He wants us to worship
right.
the created instead of the creator. And so with the ability to materialistically form a vehicle for him to ride in to be worshipped as a false messiah, I believe that he would be able to parade around in the temple of God. And in doing that, he, because he is a spiritual being, would be able to bring great wonders. You know, because he has power of the air, he could do signs and miracles. But the most interesting thing is it talks about that in Daniel, that the abomination of desolation, when it walks into the temple and proclaims himself to be God, that he is also in the temple of God. And so we know that when Jesus was upon the earth, that he told us, the Pharisees and Sadducees, that when they he would destroy the temple and he would rebuild it, and they would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, that he was not talking about the actual structure there, but his own body. So I think the desolation, abomination of desolation, is not only that he will walk into the newly built temple in Jerusalem, but he will also be in the temple of God, proclaiming himself that he is God. And
yeah, so this is really important, because a lot of people think that, you know, the Antichrist is going to be some guy with horns and fangs and claws and some evil hideous looking entity, but that's not necessarily the case, is it? I mean, to fool people, you have to actually look like the very opposite of what you are.
Exactly. And if you think about the people in your own lifetime who have been able to hurt you the most, it was the people you thought were your friends and very good people and whatever, you know, that ends up hurting you the most because you kind of gave in because they were so close to you or you didn't think they would be that way. And
don't I know that.
Through history, we have, you know, we've seen him as a serpent, a dragon, and we've had him, you know, at Halloween all with the red and the horns and whatever. And there's no doubt in my mind that he's not a very pretty being. I think he was very jealous of the fact that you know, God had made mankind in his image. But I do not believe that Satan and the fallen angels are anything that look like what we look like. So I think there was a very jealous factor there in that he wants to look in the image that we are in, but at the same time in the image of the temple of God. And I can't think of a worse act of abomination than actually walking in the clone body of Jesus Christ. I think that would be like the worst thing you could ever do. So knowing that the temple is planned on being rebuilt there in Jerusalem and that the Sanhedrin was reformed after about 1,600 years of not even being in existence, and knowing that their first priority is to rebuild that temple, and then their second priority is to look for the person who can step in and become the priest king for that temple. And we all know that in 70 A.D., that the temple there was burned and destroyed, and supposedly all the records were destroyed that would tell you any blood lineage. So for the Antichrist to be able to be accepted as the Messiah there in Jerusalem, he must meet the criteria that was set forth, you know, by the Hebrew sages, which, you know, told that there would be a virgin birth and that virgin birth would lead to a Messiah and that kind of thing. Well, this day and time, if you had a clone, then, of course, it would come from the original virgin birth. And I was reading some research the other day about a really famous Jewish man that was a very big sage there that just died over a year ago, and he left information for his son that said that he had actually met the Messiah and that his name was Jesus. So he was proclaiming that Jesus was born. And so I believe that some of the things that are out there, like the Da Vinci Code and things like that, are indirectly preparing us to accept someone from the Merovingian bloodlines and trying to tie it back for the time being to the divinic lineage. But when the person that I believe is going to walk in the image of Jesus into that temple, he will be actually proclaimed as the Messiah, because the Vatican, which I show in my work how it comes through history and becomes the false prophet with the lovely Shroud of Turin, which they have spent huge amounts of money on, will be able to stand and proclaim that his blood matches that blood and he indeed is Jesus. And I fully believe that once that is proved, that if people will flock to a statue that bleeds, they will flock to this man.
For people to get the background on this, it's very clear, those who have studied this emerging global system, this new world order, if you will,
know
that the elites who are setting this whole thing up know that they're not going to get what they want without a world religion. And they themselves actually are quite religious themselves in a very
right.
evil sense. And so they're going to set up this world religion that's going to appeal to all the different gullible followers of all the different world religions. They're going to bring them all together under one banner.
Right.
And so this world leader is going to profess to be Christ. He's also going to profess to be Buddha, you know, the incarnation of all the leaders of all the religions, so that the gullible, and, you know, unfortunately, the masses of all the world religions are gullible. They're going to follow whatever their leaders tell them. And all their leaders in these major religions are part of this global system. You know, they've been infiltrating all these major religions. So, you know, unfortunately, the world is ripe for such a leader to step forward and self-proclaim himself as, you know, God or whatever, or Christ, or, you know, and follow me. And, of course, he's going to be very appealing. He's going to be saying things that make sense and that sound so rosy-cozy on the surface. And like you said, you know, these signs, these miracles, bleeding statues, whatever, people are already ripe for falling for this kind of thing. It's scary because he's not going to come as, do what I
say or I'll kill you.
You know, he's not going to come like that.
Right. I mean,
he's going to sound very endearing, you know.
And people, you know, they get really nervous, about what could happen, but it's going to be it has actually been going on a long time. The preparations have been going on a long time. And that's why I feel like that my research is so important for people to read, is that you can see that it's been going on since the Garden of Eden, that this process, this plan, this knowledge, this ability to bring us to this point in history, once you see it start and manifest itself through history, you're just amazed how this generation is the generation that will see this man walk in there and proclaim himself as the Messiah, and that people will definitely fall for anything he says. And he won't have horns.
Yeah.
He will not be dressed in a red suit.
This is what we're seeing. In fact, the former Pope, John Paul II, went to the UN back in 1995, and he called for all the world religions to come together to unite, forget our differences, forget the past, and, you know, that's what this is all about.
Right. I began seeing a lot of the tying together back with actually Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan's, pacts to kind of bring together all the what I call the major powers without having any major problem with being able to produce maybe a future what I call world religion and new world order. And from that point in time, then we had John Paul, who very desperately actually did some very out on the limb kind of theology, where he actually had the Muslims and he had African voodoo doctors and all these different religions come together there at the Basilica, and they actually performed their own little magic tricks and everything else to their gods there, in on the Vatican Square. So yes, he was the culprit to bring about a lot of what I call the new world religion. And of course we know that Pope Benedict is following in that same line of thinking, and if anyone doesn't believe that, they can read my work, because Pope Benedict, of course, was Cardinal Ratzinger, and he was the major person under John Paul with the theology and Vatican II and all the things that went on with that. And
I got to tell you, that guy scares me.
listen, the fact that he is from the Benedictine order, and of course, I go through in my book and tell you about St. Malachi's prophecies of the popes and how, John Paul would be the Solaris Pope, and he actually was born on a solar eclipse, and he was buried on a solar eclipse, and then Benedictine Pope Benedict was actually of the Benedictine order, and that was, the next to the last pope, and then the next one that will follow Benedict will be Peter the Roman, the last and final pope that the third secret of Fatima talks about. So, it's all coming into place, and a lot of people were like, well, why in the world did they choose, Pope Benedict when he was the age he is? And I said, like, he's got to get out of the way before Peter the Roman gets in, so they can't have a young pope to last as long as John Paul because of the time. So it's very...
What's your take on the third secret there? For those that don't know, there was an alleged vision back in, was it 1917? In Fatima in Portugal.
That's right.
Where Mary, quote-unquote, appeared to these three kids and gave them, a vision. And she gave them three secrets, things that were to come, prophecies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them have already been revealed. One was what? She basically foretold World War II and, that Russia would emerge as a dominant power in the world, blah, blah, blah. The third one to this day has not been revealed. In fact, there had been supposedly several popes, I think John 23rd was one of them, and John Paul II was another. After reading it, they absolutely refused to reveal it. They said, "Oh no, this doesn't pertain to my pontificate, so I'm not going to," they didn't want to release it. But obviously it's something of a very serious nature that they didn't want to discuss. I was wondering what your take was on that.
Well, I fully believe that that it's a terrible thing, and what I understand from the research that I've done, that it has something to do with the final pope that will defect. This particular what is called Peter the Roman, as far as St. Malachi's prophecies are concerned, and that with that defection, that he will bring about a complete change of the way that you know, historically the Catholic Church has functioned, because he's going to bring together a world religion. And I know that Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen actually said the false prophet will have a religion without a cross and a religion without a world, and it will destroy all religions. It's a counter-church, but it is actually a global or worldly false church. And he actually said that this false prophet, which would be that pope, the last pope, would actually sell a mystical body of the Antichrist. And so, you know, even Pope Pius X, you know, 82 years ago, or a little over 82 years ago, he said that there's a good reason to fear that the coming great, you know, apostasy may be the foretaste of a defecting pontiff or pope. And he actually talks about him being the son of perdition. So, yes, there is something in that third secret of Fatima that tells you that the Catholic Church is going to be very much involved as the false prophet.
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, guys, we got to go to another break. We actually have a caller on the line. We'll take him when we get back. Hold on there, Adam from Utah, and I'll be right back after the break.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Okay, guys, back here on Truth Hurts Radio, and we actually got a caller now. We've got Adam in Utah. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Hi, Charles. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Hear you loud and clear.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. I don't know if your listeners are aware of the Albert Pike letter, where he called for, you know, he was a 33rd degree Mason back in the late 1800s.
Yeah, he talked about the upcoming world wars. And
yeah, he called for three world wars in his letter. And,
right.
You know, the in the last war, you know, they want to, the New World, the globalists, they want to pit the Islamic religion against the Christian and Jewish religion and have a third world war over it and wipe everyone out. And,
are you familiar with that letter, Dr. Joy?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, so they want to simultaneously wipe out the Christians and wipe out all the good people of the Islamic religion and basically wipe out good people everywhere and then blame it all on the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims to create this occultic New World Order, you know, New Atlantis religion so that they can introduce their Messiah and say, you know, we just can't have all these different religions anymore because... You know, look what happened. We've had nothing but wars all through the world's history. We got to blame it on the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims. So we need a new religion. And then that's when they're going to introduce their, you know, occultic baloney and try and push
it on us.
Well,
they do want to completely overthrow not just Christianity, yeah, Islam, and even Torah Judaism. They want to get rid of all of the... neutralize them and mesh them into this one global system, which is really nothing but revived old paganism.
Yeah, and it's the old Hegelian dialectic where it's problem, reaction, solution. You know, they're going to blame it all on us, saying, oh, you know, these damn Christians, you know, started another war, and they're going to blame it all on us, and when in reality they start the whole thing, and then they're going to introduce their Messiah, and... I was just on I was reading some articles on the internet just a couple days ago, and there was a link to one of those New Age websites, and they actually talk about their Messiah as the Christ, and so they say, you know, and then when they get all this done, you know, they'll introduce their Messiah, and he will have proper jurisdiction over the world as the Christ, you know, so it's the total imitation, you know, of the real. You know, Messiah.
Right. Did you have any questions or comments for Dr. Joy?
You know, I think that she's doing a really good work. I think that, you know, the people in America need to realize that, you know, many of the Christian churches have been hijacked. And, you know, and I remember talking to you there, Charles, one day about Pat Robertson, you know, and you know, the level of deception that's going on. You know, Pat Robertson wrote the book New World Order back around, what, 1993 or so?
Mm-hmm.
And yet his connections to the New World Order are very apparent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, he's helping bring it on. And it's unfortunate, but, yeah, the mainstream religious world today, and not just the Christian world, just the major religions across the board, they're ripe for this kind of a system to arise. I mean, they're just, they've lost the ability to think independently. They let their leaders do the thinking for them. And when their leaders embrace something, endorse something, they're going to rally right behind it. They do. And it's scary. There's this mindlessness going on. Anyway, we've got to go to another break. Adam, did you want to hold on till after the break?
Sure.
All right. Stick with us, folks. Short break. We'll be right back.
With recent